Through Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 to verse 8, we saw the eternal glory of being in the new heaven and new earth of all believers in Jesus Christ, part 1 of it. It focused on the joy to the heart when we are in new heaven and new earth, what we will feel inside in New Jerusalem will be pure joy, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness, and no more tears. And then, through Revelation chapter 21, verse 9 to verse 21, we saw the eternal glory of being in the new heaven and new earth of all believers of Jesus Christ, part 2. It focuses on the joy to the eyes. What we'll see with our eyes in the future in New Jerusalem will be a breathtaking work of art. It's like nothing you have never seen before, more marvelous and beautiful than anything that you have seen before. And that will bring us eternal joy in heaven. And today, through Revelation chapter 21, verse 22 to 27, if you have your Bible, you can open your Bible to Revelation chapter 21. That's the second last chapter of the whole Bible on the very back of your Bible. If you have your own Bible, you can open to it. Or you'll see Bibles in front of you. You can take one in the boxes in front of your seat. Okay? And today we'll study from Revelation chapter 21, verses 22 to 27. And also chapter 22, verse 1 to verse 5. We will see the eternal joy of being in the new heaven and new earth of all believers of Jesus Christ, part 3. It focuses on the joy to the whole body of those in New Jerusalem, in New Heaven and New Earth in the future. What we will do with our body in New Jerusalem will produce eternal joy. Thank God for such wonderful grace to the believers of Jesus Christ. And today we'll see more about how we'll experience eternal joy with God in New Jerusalem with our body. The first thing that we will do to experience eternal joy with God in New Jerusalem is worship. Verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city. That's New Jerusalem. I is the Apostle John. Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. In the Old Testament, Israelites worship God in the earthly tabernacle or a tent and temple which represents God's presence. Since in New Jerusalem, God is present in the whole city. God is present in the whole city, not just in the Old Testament in the tabernacle or the temple which represents God's presence. The whole city is the tabernacle and the temple for resurrected believers to worship God in New Jerusalem and New Earth. So it's a huge tabernacle. If you were here last time, you will have learned how spacious New Jerusalem would be. So what's the key to true worship? What's the most important thing to true worship? It is God's presence. God's presence is the key to true worship. Most people will treat worship as a weekly event that they will come in church sanctuary. But true worship takes place wherever God is present. The location is not the main issue of worship, of New Testament worship. Jesus Christ, He Himself, taught about the same thing. John chapter 4, verse 21 to verse 24, says that Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews." Verse 23, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth," meaning that worship sincerely in your hearts. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to verse 22 says that, verse 19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So what is the holy temple in the New Testament that we are part of? The New Testament church. So what is the New Testament holy temple? Is it a building? Is it CCCBL, this building? Or another church building that you go to? What is the holy temple that we go to worship God in New Testament church? Volunteers, I just read it. I'm just testing if you were paying attention. Jesse? You answered another of my questions, so. So, where do you think is the holy temple for us? Anyone? From this side as well, I mean. And you guys, you don't want to just let the fifth graders to answer all the questions, right? Okay, let me answer it for you. And next time I'll read a verse, pay close attention so that you can pick up some clues from it to answer a question that I will ask. The holy temple in New Testament church, in New Testament era, is all believers. Wherever there are true believers of Jesus Christ, that's where the holy temple of Jesus Christ is, of God is. That's where they can worship God. Because God is present in true believers' hearts. Remember, the key to true worship is presence of God. And God is present in all true believers in the New Testament era. That's why Ephesians chapter 2 verse 21 says that in him the whole building is joined together. In Jesus Christ, all the members of the church, each person is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Matthew chapter 18 verse 19 to verse 20 says that, again I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. Whenever two true believers or more true believers of Jesus Christ, they come together in agreement, in unity, there God is. There they can experience God's presence, and there they can worship God. Isn't that wonderful? We can worship God anywhere, any place, anytime, 24/7. Since God is so great, don't we want to worship him anytime, anywhere? But the key is that as believers, if you want to experience God's presence, even though we are already God's holy temple, one thing will separate us or stop us from experiencing God's presence, that is sin and loss of unity among believers. So that's why living a holy life is so important, to experience God's presence in true worship. And unity by God's love among believers is so important for us to experience God's presence. That would be the most wonderful thing to experience. But as believers, we still sin. Some people think that believers of Jesus Christ they are already perfect. The fact is, if you have come to church, you know that people are not perfect. Each one still has problems caused by our sin nature. Even as a couple married in the name of Jesus Christ in the church, they are believers, they still often hurt each other in the marriage relationship. It is because of their sinful nature inside of them. But God has given us the power and the resource to overcome that sin nature. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 to verse 10 says that, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, that's by saying, 'Sorry God, please forgive what I did wrong in your eyes.'" That's what it means by confessing our sins. "Then God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives." Even Christians still sin, but we can confess our sins to God and God will cleanse us. This is how we worship God now, because of the presence of our sins. We continue to ask for God's grace to help us to overcome our sin nature. And then, without sin hindering our relationship with the Holy God, we can experience His presence in praise and in worship, and we will experience joy praising the most wonderful God. But in the beautiful, perfect, spacious and precious New Jerusalem, in the future, believers' future eternal home, as we learned last time, there will be no more sin. Why would there be no more sin in New Jerusalem? Why? Even believers now still sin. But in New Jerusalem, there will be no more sin. No possibility of sin in New Jerusalem. Jesse, see?
Satan's gone.
Okay, Satan is bounded. That's right, right? Because ultimately, it is Satan, the tempter, who tempts us, what desire we might have, and he will cause us to actually take action and then sin in that. So you're right in that. Another reason is that sin also comes from our own desires inside. Even Satan does not tempt us. It doesn't mean that it's impossible for us to sin. So even though Satan is already bounded in hell, while we are in New Jerusalem, but it's also because we have a new resurrected body. The body that Jesus Christ now has, that does not have sin nature in it. So it's impossible for resurrected believers in heaven to sin. So that's why it is also called a spiritual body that can allow us to see God face to face, physically seeing God, maybe even hugging Jesus, and yet we will not die because of our sin, because there's no more sin in the resurrected spiritual body when we are with the Holy God. So that's God's solution for us to experience God's physical presence in the New Jerusalem, not just now, the spiritual presence with God through our prayers. And we can experience God's presence also by reading God's word when God speaks it to us through the Bible. Let me give you an analogy. The form of worship that we are experiencing now is like, you look into a mirror, you see a reflection of the real object. But in New Jerusalem, you will be able to see the real object of worship physically. You can touch, not only just see and feel God's presence in New Jerusalem. And God will be physically present throughout New Jerusalem. So that's why worship in New Jerusalem will be so much greater than what we're experiencing now. It's just like a reflection of what we experience now. Let me give you another analogy. The difference is also like between watching the Olympics on TV and actually watching the Olympians perform face to face in the front row, the most expensive seats there, and afterwards we can even shake Usain Bolt's hand and say, you did great. And he will even say a few words, yes, if you work hard, you might be here yourself. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we can be like that? But this is just an analogy. But being with God is much, much better than being able to talk to your hero in the Olympics. For some of you, it might be Yang Wei. Others, it might be the ping pong champion, Monin, right? So if I can play with Monin, play ping pong with Monin, and he teaches me some techniques, I'm sure I'll be able to beat everyone here. Right? So, this is just a dream, okay? But being with God is much better than that. Worship in New Jerusalem will be the most wonderful worship experience we should look forward to. While we're worshiping here, think about what it would be like worshiping in New Jerusalem. Second, why we will experience eternal joy in heaven in New Jerusalem, it's because of the glory that we will experience with our body, God's glory. Verse 23 says that the city, New Jerusalem, does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. No sun, no moon. That wouldn't there be darkness? No, for the glory of God gives it night, and the lamp is its lamp. The nations, here it means all the believers in all ages from all nationalities and races, they will walk by God's night and the kings of the earth. Here again, it's the kings of all nations who trusted Jesus Christ as their personal savior, or trusted God in New Testament according to the Old Testament laws. As a result, they trust God and they are saved. That's why they can also enter New Jerusalem, and they will bring their splendor into it. Kings, even on this earth, has their own glory. More glorious than just a common citizen of that kingdom or that country. But all the kings, believing kings, would go to New Jerusalem to worship God, to bring God the glory God has bestowed on them, but they will all the glory to God in New Jerusalem when they go to worship God. Verse 25, on no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The gate of New Jerusalem will not be shut. All the saved believers with resurrection body, they can go in and come out of New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is the huge, spacious city, but there is also the new earth that people can come out and also serve God outside New Jerusalem. And I believe it is also a beautiful place for them to enjoy God's glory. Verse 26, the glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. As I mentioned before, all the nations, all the believers from all nations, would be worshiping God. That would be the most wonderful picture of worship. Here, mainly Chinese, we have some Caucasian, we have people from maybe other different race, nationality. But in New Jerusalem, it's people from all nationalities, all believers from all races, nationalities, worshiping God. Verse 27. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is a Book of Life. Only if your names are on there, you would have eternal life. You would be able to be in New Jerusalem to have eternal life, to worship God in eternity. Whose names will be on the Book of Life? Whose names? Would your names be on the Book of Life? Let me ask you again. I think I asked a similar question before. Not many people answered the question. I was asking a similar but from a different perspective to test your understanding. I was asking who would be in the first resurrection. Almost nobody put up the hand. Maybe you didn't understand what it means to be in the first resurrection. It is for all believers of God or of Jesus Christ. How about in the book of Night? Put up your hand if you think that you will be in the book of Night. Your name will be in the book of Night. Maybe you still don't understand it, but let me explain it. The book of Night will write the names of all believers of God, all believers of Jesus Christ. And if you are a true believer of Jesus Christ, in the New Testament era, it's through trusting in Jesus Christ, since He has already revealed Himself, and through Him we have seen God, and we have seen the only way for us to be saved, that's through Jesus Christ, death and resurrection for our sins. If you are a true believer of Jesus Christ, your name would be on the book of life. You can be sure. And if you are a true believer of Jesus Christ, you will be in the first resurrection as well. So if there's a Bible trivia or Bible quiz that asks you this question, if you're sure that you're a true believer, you can put up your hand. Some people will say, how proud, how arrogant that you say that you can be in the book of life, that you can be in the first resurrection. Who is more proud to think that they can, by their own power, to do many good things, as a result, maybe they can get in? Or someone who says that I'm nothing, that's why I need to trust in Jesus Christ alone, as a result, by God's grace, it's a gift I receive that I can be sure. I would say those who are sure, because they understand what is grace, they receive it from God, and they trust Jesus Christ for salvation and continue to hold on to Jesus Christ, they are more humble than those who think that by their own power they can even earn their entry into heaven. No, they cannot by their own power. And they are actually more arrogant than those who trust Christ alone to be saved. New Jerusalem in New Heaven and New Earth is a holy city where absolutely no spiritual darkness or sin is allowed to exist because of the physical presence of the Holy God. There's no physical darkness either, because the holiness and glory of God shines and produces physical light that drives away all physical darkness. Therefore, there's no need of the sun or of the moon in New Jerusalem. These verses remind me of another few verses in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to verse 7, which teaches that God is night, and what it means for us now that God is night. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to verse 7. Pay attention, because I might ask you another question, okay? And verse 5, 1 John chapter 1, this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is night. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the night as He is in the night, we have fellowship with one another. Here it's talking about have fellowship with God if we walk in night. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, we just read, night is what represents the spiritual night that represents the holiness of God. Absolutely no sin. Is there holiness in us? Do we have God's holiness now? Do we have God's holiness? Yes?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Oh, yes? Okay. Let's think more about that. Maybe the question is not explained well. God's holiness is different from ours. God, He Himself is holy by Himself. But we, by ourselves, there is no holiness in us because of our sin nature. Even someone who's trying to do good, inside of that person, there's always the tendency that always will be manifested in thoughts, in words, or in action. Evil acts. No one can be perfect. No one can be holy by themselves. We don't have God's holiness. As a result, even as believers of Jesus Christ now, we cannot achieve holiness by ourselves. We have to continually to hold on to the source of pure holiness, Jesus Christ, our Savior, also the one who will make us holy through the Holy Spirit as well. By praying, by reading God's Word, God will give us power to overcome the sin nature in us now, which will not be there in the future in New Jerusalem. But now, that's the reason why we need to continue to trust Jesus Christ. And this is what we need to do every day. Not just that we are saved very long time ago, and I have not touched my Bible for years. I have not prayed for a long time. Then I'm sure that there are many sins in your life because you don't have God to help you to live a holy life. There's no other way now for us to live a holy life according to the Bible. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 23 to 27, this passage, people in New Jerusalem will always be walking in God's holiness spiritually because of God's continual presence. There will be no possibility of sin, different from us now, because they have the resurrected body. Not only will there be spiritual night, God's presence throughout New Jerusalem, there will also be physical night because of God's physical presence and glory with us. This week, while I was at home thinking about God's Word, while I was sitting in the office, suddenly I realized something. I realized how great, wonderful, and incomparable the night from sun is. I'm just talking about the sunshine. The sun. Sunlight is great. I have to say that. At any single moment in time, at least half of the population of planet Earth will be enjoying the night from the sun. Direct sunshine during the daytime. Other half of the population will be enjoying also night from the sun through reflection from the moon. The moon is like a mirror reflecting the sun's night. Nowadays, you might not appreciate moonlight much. Only those who are romantic, they will appreciate moonlight. But now, because we have the election night. Back in the days I was in mainland China more than 30 years ago, I appreciate moonlight because there was not much electric light. Sometimes there was power outage, and the moonlight could really brighten the roads that I walked on, and so that I would not fall. But electric night is nothing in comparison to the night from sunshine during the day, because it illuminates everywhere on half of planet Earth at one single time. In time. I think electric light is a great invention, but it's so limited in its sphere of influence. You have the night here, when it's nighttime, if you don't have the night here, don't have the source of the electricity, it will be darkness outside. More than that, I see that the artificial electric light produces problems, pollution, and there is energy crisis. That is a global problem. I think there are some very smart scientists who are taking advantage of the solar energy, again, energy from the sun. They finally realize that how powerful the sun is. And yet the sunlight is nothing when compared to the light directly from God, the glory of God in New Jerusalem. The sun's energy might last for many years, until our present heaven and earth are destroyed, according to the Bible, also in Revelation, what we learned over the past few weeks. When the present heaven and earth are destroyed, there will be no more sun and no more moon. So that's the time the sun and the moon, they will all also be destroyed, replaced by the new heaven and new earth. But God's night, because of His glory, lasts to eternity, and there will never be energy crisis, there will never be pollution in New Jerusalem. Wouldn't that be wonderful? The problems that we're struggling with now, it will not be there in New Jerusalem. So that's why I look forward to the day when God's glory is both believers' physical night and spiritual night. But as for now, what do? We don't have it yet, right? Now we can still stay in God's spiritual night of holiness by walking in the night of God's holiness through reading, meditating, doing God's word, and appreciate the sunlight created by God while we still have it. I came from California. It's a state of sunshine. I really appreciate the sunshine there. When you have the sunshine, you better appreciate it, especially on a beach. So don't take it for granted while we have it. And give glory to God, because God created that for our needs, for our benefit, even now. But what we will have is much, much better. Thirdly, we will experience eternal joy through our body by having all our bodily needs fulfilled, met in New Jerusalem. Now we come to chapter 22, verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city, that's made of gold, pure gold, as we learned earlier. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit. Again, 12 is mentioned, implicating perfection and completeness, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. The angel showed John the river of the water of night, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. I believe this is a literal river, although it symbolizes the holiness and purity of God and the city, because it's as clear as crystal. The water flows down the middle of the great street of the city, which refers to a main street in New Jerusalem made of pure gold, coming from the throne of God. If you continue to walk on that, you will go to God's throne. And the river is a narrow stream in the middle of the wide street made of pure gold. Just imagine how beautiful that is. And I will show you a picture drawn by an artist that describes this literally. And John also saw on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. Where else was the tree of life mentioned in the Bible?
Genesis.
It's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 and verse 24. Where it was represented as perpetuating physical life forever. And Adam and Eve, they were forbidden to eat from that tree because of their sin against God. Only in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, the believers of Jesus Christ were promised the right to eat from the tree of life. Revelation again mentioned earlier the tree of life. He says that it's for believers to eat from it. It's not just for people to watch, but in the future, if you are a true believer, you can eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God, according to Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. So it's an actual tree with literal fruits. The practical effect will be to continue physical life forever when believers eat them. And the trees of leaves, and the trees' leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. But we already learned that people will not get sick. There will be no sickness in New Jerusalem in the future. So here, it's talking about health giving. It's not that people will get sick and then they eat and then they will be cured from the sickness. But here, it's talking about this word in Greek. It's pronounced as therapeian. And the English word therapeutic is from this Greek word. It means health giving, to give health, not necessarily that you're ill and then you want to be cured from your illness. But it explains why there will be no sickness in New Jerusalem in the future. It is because people will eat from the tree that will give them eternal health, and the tree's leaves also contribute to the physical well-being of those in eternity in New Jerusalem. You know the function of the tree, the fruit on the tree of life and the leaves. But I also wonder what the fruit on the tree of life will taste like. I think it will be the most delicious food that you have ever tasted before. While I'm talking about this, you might get hungry, but we still have a few minutes before we go for lunch. So focus, okay? We will have lunch later, but what we will eat now, even the most delicious food, I believe will be nothing when it's compared to the fruit on the tree of life. Studies have shown that there is a direct relationship between food and health. People now appreciate the value of vegetables and fruit more than ever. In the beginning, before sin, people in the Garden of Eden, they were all vegetarian, okay? They didn't eat animals because they were there to take care of animals. But now we eat animals. But they might also have caused us a sickness because of the food we eat. Not just vegetables and fruits grown by chemical fertilizer. Now people want fruit and vegetables grown by organic fertilizer. And these are among the most expensive food that you can buy. Isn't it interesting that vegetables and fruits that were used to be considered as cheap food now can be more expensive than meat that we eat because of the health benefits that we can get from them? And yet, even if you eat vegetable and fruit all day long, every day for the rest of your life, you still die physically. That's the fact, okay? So caring for your health is good, being a steward of what God has given us. But realize that you cannot live forever with this physical body. You have to wait for God's provision of the resurrection body in the future and eat from the tree of life so that you can have eternal life with your sin-free resurrection body. I think this is just a wonderful, beautiful thing to know. Fourthly, this is a picture of New Jerusalem, the river of life, the tree of life. This should be the angel, this should be Apostle John, and here you can see the scale of things in comparison to the size of Apostle John. How thick the wall of the gate of New Jerusalem will be, and the street all in pure gold. I believe the houses will also be in pure gold, decorated with the precious stones. As we mentioned last time, our house in the future will be perfect. So don't hold on to the house that you have now and that can be damaged easily by a hurricane. Fourthly, the fourth thing that we'll do with our body that will give us eternal joy in heaven in New Jerusalem is service. Serving the most glorious God face to face. Verse 3. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the night of a lamp or the night of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. What we just learned, re-emphasized here. And they will reign forever and ever, rule, govern with God together in New Jerusalem forever. And it also says that in the beginning, no longer will there be any curse. What is the curse referring to? This is the curse of Adam's sin, leading to illness that requires healing and that will ultimately cause death now. But there will be no such curse in New Jerusalem. There will be no curse. There will be perfect health and there will be eternal life. And God's servants and all the believers who serve God, some of you might give a negative connotation to service, but it is a marvelous thing, especially if it is to someone who loves you and that you know. The young ones, if you have not dated yet, look forward to that day that you date and you do everything for the one you love and you don't think that it's a torture. That's the beauty of service to someone you love. And if you know that person also loves you. Similarly, if there's love in the marriage relationship, whatever you do for the one you love, it is nothing. It is not a torture. It is a pleasure. To God, service to God, it's a pleasure. It is not a torture. To God who has created us, created everything here for our enjoyment and also for us to take care of, saving us from our sins punishment, guiding us and strengthening us, comforting us by the Holy Spirit, and later on giving us the resurrection body and all the good perfect things I've mentioned in New Jerusalem. This world has the concept that early retirement is good, doing nothing is good, and then just travel around the world doing nothing, that's the best thing that you should pursue. But I think work is actually good for you. If what you do in your job is what you enjoy, it will absolutely be a joy. It will give you, I believe, good health, not just physical but also mental. It will make you happier and you will live longer. Many people who live up to 90 years old or older, they never stop working. And in New Jerusalem, the greatest joy is from serving, worshiping God, and reigning with God in eternity. And it will be eternal joy. Let me conclude. We will experience eternal joy physically in new heaven and new earth through worshiping God face to face, number one. Two, being in the physical presence of God's glory and light, no moon and no sun needed. Enjoying eternal health, health food, and serving and reigning with God face to face. Fourthly, so let's prepare ourselves for our future eternal joy with God, for what we do now echoes in eternity. What we do now echoes in eternity. How do we prepare? With thankfulness to God. Every day, enjoy worshiping God sincerely from our heart. Enjoy sunshine and day-night beauty. Don't just shut yourself in the house. Go out, enjoy the sunshine. Outdoor activities is good for you. Enjoy good, delicious health food and serving and taking care of God's work in the church, while at the same time looking forward to the infinitely eternal joy that you will experience by your resurrection bodies in New Jerusalem. Isn't that wonderful? God has given us, just through this passage, the perspective of our life and what we should do in our life. And this ends the series on the glory of the returning King Jesus Christ and eternal joy in new heaven and new earth. To tell you the truth, I just want to stay in Revelation forever. It's so good. But I have to move on, okay? But I and you all need to always be reminded by going back to Revelation chapter 19 to 22. If you have missed any part of the series, you can go to our English ministry website to listen to that to help you to understand what it means that Jesus Christ will come back in His glory, what it means that we can experience eternal joy in new heaven and new earth. It will transform your life and make your life productive from an eternal perspective. And our English ministry website is, what's the website address?
www.cctvr.com.
No. Yeah, add blogspot into it. www.cccbr.blogspot.com. Okay, I hope you got it. In the following Sundays, I will be preaching from Proverbs, which gives us wisdom to live this life well in God's eyes in preparation for our future eternal life, including issues like, is it okay to drink wine? Who is the friend that I should hang out with? What kind of friend I should hang out with? What kind of wife I should be looking for, or husband? And many other practical guidances for our everyday living to prepare ourselves for our future life in heaven with God. Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your holy word that gives us hope, that gives us joy. But the ultimate joy is from fellowship with the holy God in your holiness. There is night, there is no darkness. That's why we need to hold on to you for us to live a holy life now. But while we are here, let us be able to prepare ourselves for our future eternal night with God in New Jerusalem. And I just pray for those who are still seeking whether they should trust Jesus Christ alone to be saved. I just pray that the Holy Spirit would let them see, open their eyes, and let them see that's the most wonderful thing that can happen to them, to trust Christ alone to be saved, continue to trust Christ, to live their life, to prepare for their eternal life with God, face to face. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.